thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Man, I feel blessed, man. One of my homies is back. Say what's up, world.
What's going on, world?
If you don't know who that is, that's Will T, man. We haven't had Will T in a while. I'm here with my man Sam. It's the Urban Sports Scene on the Eyes Radio Network. Will, man, what's been going on, man?
Not much, man. You know, just working, you know. I'm away for a little bit, so, you know, just been busy, so. But I'm still a part of the show. You know, I want to chime in on this historic fight that happened this past Saturday.
Of course, man. That's why we have to have you on here, man. You are the boxing professional, man. You know everything about boxing, man. We haven't talked in a while about boxing, you know, especially we were supposed to have an interview with Seth Mitchell, but he caught that L, so I don't think I even pursued it after that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what'd you say, Will?
Kinda harsh.
I ain't harsh, man. I mean he's still doing his thing. He raw talent. I have all faith that he'll get it together. You know, the heavyweight division, he's really, in truth be told, a rookie in the game. But, you know, once he fine-tunes his skills, I think he can be one of the top heavyweights in the game, especially when the Klitschko's decide to hang him up. But like I said, the Urban Sports Scene on the Eyes Radio Network. You can listen to the Urban Sports Scene on the Eyes Radio Network. The website is www.eyesradio.com. Such shows on there are Run TMC with Tom Block and MC Hater, which airs live Mondays from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You got Clutch Sports Radio, which airs Thursdays from 8 to 10 Eastern Standard Time. And BT Sports Radio, which airs, matter of fact, tonight. Around this time, like, they're basically about to wrap up, but it's from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then you also have DC Sports Chat, DC Sports Chat that airs Wednesday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And don't forget to check out our homies, Crowley and Watts Radio Podcast Show at www.crowleyandwatts.com. We're also syndicated on the internet radio station Real People Real Talk Radio. This site is managed by our good friends from Applegee's, so make sure you visit the site. It's www.realpeoplerealtalk.com. Will, you know what to say.
Getting to our tradition of pregame.
All right, starts with the pregame. I was going to start with the fight, but matter of fact, Bounty Gate just basically came to my attention. Paul Tagliabue came in and pretty much obviously took out the fines on the players and the suspension on the players and held the coaches responsible. You need to say, Sam?
Yes, let me just get on the microphone first. Yes, that way you can hear me. Yes, I actually read the article earlier, and I mean, I was kind of surprised. He's letting pretty much the players get off, saying it was a result of a system that allowed them to get away with it. And, you know, I guess you mentioned earlier, Tagliabue, he's very pro player friendly, and to me, it's a huge blow to Goodell. You know, talking about a decision like that being overturned, and if I'm a Saints fan, I'm really pissed off, because, you know, you're talking about the Super Bowl is actually in New Orleans this year, right?
It's New Orleans, Miami, I think. Isn't it Super Bowl in Miami?
I believe it's in New Orleans this year.
Yeah, it's in New Orleans this year.
So I mean, you know, you could have cost them a trip, so. But I guess we're going to hear more about it in the next couple of days. I'm interested to see what the players are going to, you know, say and have to say about it. So, huge news.
We'll see.
What's up?
Do you have anything to add to it?
Nah, I just think, I think that precedent has been set, I mean, for discipline of players when it comes to, you know, discipline of the players. The players are going to add, you know, for Goodell potentially to be removed from making all disciplinary actions, and see if Paul Tagliabue, who has shown that he can be impartial given the circumstances and given the evidence, he's shown that he can be impartial. And I think, you know, this is something that sets a precedent in the future for Paul Tagliabue to be to arbitrate, you know, fines and violations and things like that in the future for NFL players.
Yeah, I'm also on the side of, you know, obviously I'm happy. You know, I hate Roger Goodell. This just proves that He's like Hitler when it comes to the NFL. Seriously.
Wow.
I mean, you
really?
Brought in. No, seriously. Like, Hitler. Paul Tagliabue came in. He came back. And I felt, you know, he was fair. He viewed the evidence. What he saw was, all right, there's no true evidence the players put out money to hurt people. Yeah, they put out money to special tackles and things of that sort, but they didn't put out in a pot money. If you knock out Brett Favre, you get paid this, that amount of money. No, he was like, the proof was, if you tackle this, that, and the other, you get paid. It's just in the reward system. It's not as if he said, go kill Brett Favre. The players set a pot out there to go kill Brett Favre. No, you know what I mean? So I'm happy. This shows that, you know, Roger Go to Hell is like one of the worst commissioners ever in all sports. And honestly, it just makes him look bad. I don't care anybody tells me. They can sugarcoat it all they want. It makes him look like a terrible commissioner.
With all these lawsuits they've got coming because of the concussions, and apparently they've been suppressing medical information going way back. Now, you know, people are saying that the reason he came down so hard was to make himself look like, you know, they're pro health and things like that. But with this backfiring, I think it makes him look even worse, kind of more calculating as opposed to, you know, being fair. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, but it's not looking good for Goodell, I mean.
He's Satan. It's okay. I'll say it. He's Satan.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, man. Hey, he's Satan to me. I don't like the dude. I think he disgusts me. All right, he disgusts me. He can go to hell. Let's go to boxing,
he's
man.
Satan. He is in hell.
That's true. Let's go to boxing. Anyway, like I said, you know, Will was here basically because, you know, he saw the fight that I wanted to see. It's Pacquiao. That's one that I saw as well. Pacquiao losing to Marquez on Saturday night was Pacquiao Marquez for Pacquiao got KO'd in the sixth round. Will T, please embrace us with. Please give us your knowledge of boxing.
Well, I don't think I have a knowledge of boxing. I love boxing. Marquez came into the fight knowing that it was only one way he was going to get a victory, and that was by a knockout. You could tell like how he, his preparation for the fight, how he came, his conditioning coming into the fight, spoke to that because he came in, even though he only weighed 143 pounds,
he came in ripped.
He was ready to go. In all honesty, it was a point that I think that Pacquiao didn't even see coming just because of the angle that Marquez threw it at. Marquez is one of the better one of the better counterpunchers in boxing, on top of being one of the better pound-for-pound one of the pound-for-pound boxers. A lot of people are saying that this knockout kind of spoils any chance of Mayweather, Pacquiao in the future. I don't even think that's the truth. I think, if anything, this kind of eases some of the standstill because now Manny Pacquiao will have to know that he won't be the star attraction of the show because Floyd Mayweather will be.
I don't know. Fact, go ahead.
Go ahead.
That's the thing that gives me. I don't know. I can't give you an answer on that one. I don't know if Pacquiao. I think Pacquiao Mayweather. I mean, to me, it's not as intriguing anymore. Obviously, maybe I'm looking at it as the possible mega fight. Who's gonna get paid more? Things or whatever. My question is, we both saw 24/7. I'm sure you watched 24/7, Marquez and Pacquiao.
Yeah.
All right. I'm questioning this trainer Marquez has. He's linked to the folks. Is it Balco or Marion Jones?
Marquez' conditioning coach.
Yeah.
For this fight was Marion Jones' old conditioning coach, who was tied to Balco and who had a reputation for creating performance-enhancing drugs that were undetectable by certain tests.
Yeah, so that sounds like, to me, how I looked at it, because when I saw him at the weigh-in, that's when I started, all right, because first I ignored it, but the weigh-in, he was, like you said, he was so ripped. Like, when I saw him in the weigh-in, he was so ripped, and then when I put two and two together, don't get me wrong, like, he caught him clean, like you said. I think the main thing is that Pacquiao didn't see it coming. I think Pacquiao was very reckless. I mean, he's always reckless, but he was very reckless in this fight.
Yeah, he's always has been a very reckless fighter. He's always been a guy who's kind of, you know, thrown a lot of wild punches. Gets his feet tangled up when he throws punches and when he tries to move in and out. The problem with Manny Pacquiao fighting Marquez is Marquez is the wrong type of style boxer for Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao historically has dominated boxers who have stayed right in front of him, who don't use angles, who don't use their jab. Marquez is a guy who uses angles. He's a slick boxer, and he's able to bend at the waist and rotate his shoulders to get away from punches. He doesn't back straight up with his hands down. And any type of boxer like that is going to give Pacquiao problems just because of his deficiency.
Yeah, but I think Pacquiao did a good, an awesome thing coming into fight with the head movement a la Mike Tyson back in the 80s. I like what he did. I actually thought his game plan was a lot better for Marquez this time. I just think his only problem was getting too aggressive. I think he saw blood. He broke his nose. He thought he can go for the kill and take him out. I actually think the head movement from side to side kind of caught Marquez off guard because he wasn't as easy as a target to get. Two of his punches, though, came, you know, where I thought, other than the last punch was a really solid punch. I thought his first knockdown of Pacquiao was more of a prayer.
Now, I just want to chime in. I think I agree with Will as far as Mayweather-Pacquiao being more likely because, you know, the biggest reason the fight didn't happen, Mayweather won a 60-40. Pacquiao was like, no, you know, we're the same. Pacquiao can't say that anymore. And on top of that, in order for Pacquiao to redeem himself, not just for in front of fans, but for himself, beating Mayweather would feel just as good as losing to Marquez. So I think his motivation to fight Mayweather just jumped up. And I think he'll take, you know, 60-40.
So y'all, you don't think there'll be a Marquez-Pacquiao 5? Everybody?
Oh, come on. That would be ridiculous.
2-part 5? Yeah, of course you're going to see.
I knew it was 2-part 5.
Really?
Yeah.
5 fights?
Yeah, you'll see 2-part 5.
What is this, the 20s? Like, this is ridiculous.
No, this is like Rocky, boy. Yeah, you're going to see 2-part 5. I think you're going to see 2-part 5. You think, like I said, and also, man, I've been sick of seeing these Pacquiao pictures. That, you know, everybody is like embarrassing Manny Pacquiao. They're showing Pacquiao pictures everywhere.
With him being knocked out?
Yeah, like, you know, they have him knocked out. Like, where is Waldo? Like, where is Pacquiao? they got him like in a hangover. They got him. They had him in. They actually had him in the Kid Kardashian and Ray J sex tape, like laid out on the bed.
I mean, hey, that's what happens in boxing. You get knocked out like that.
Nah, people hate Pacquiao because they love Mayweather so much. So they
well,
just, like,
a lot of people blame Pacquiao for the fight not happening.
No, a lot.
Include myself. So
no, you can't blame Pacquiao. That's both parties. That's Bob Arum. You can't blame Pacquiao.
Well, I mean, Bob Arum is on your team, so that's Pacquiao team.
Hey, Will T, who's next for Pacquiao? I mean, what's next? Is part 5 next, or what is he going to do? What do you think?
If I had to guess, I would say, I know this is kind of left field, but I would think that they want to fight to kind of rebuild his confidence.
Yeah, I agree.
It's also a high paying, high grossing fight. I actually could see him fighting Timothy Bradley again.
That's what I was thinking too. You think it'd be high grossing to see Timothy Bradley? You think that'll make money for him? I think it'll help his confidence. I agree with that.
Yeah, it's a fight that'll help his confidence. It's a fight that'll generate a decent amount of interest because, you know, people want to see him avenge his lost to Timothy Bradley, even though a lot of people believe that he won.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
I can see possibly a Timothy Bradley fight in April, but they were talking that he might fight Brandon Rios.
Ooh.
Which would be something that's tailor-made for him because Rios is a young guy, likes to bang, comes straight forward, backs up with his hands down. So he's custom-made for him. That'll definitely be a fight that can get him back on the right path, rebuild his confidence, and also generate a lot of money.
Also, do you think Marquez? Go ahead.
Fight. I see either one of those fights.
Okay. Do you see Marquez retire? What do you think Marquez is going to do? Think he's going to retire after this W, or like the fake retirement? That's what I like to call it.
I'm not going to say retire so much. I think you're going to see him fight anyone except for Pacquiao. All
right. I hear you. Well, let's. I mean,
one time next year, and that'll be against Pacquiao.
Okay. Well, let's move on from this great boxing discussion. If anybody has anything to say, just make sure you can email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com. We'll talk. We can discuss the boxing stuff or anything you don't agree with us with. I'll forward it to Will because Will doesn't like to check his. He doesn't check the Facebook stuff. He's not into social media, right, Will T?
Absolutely not.
Exactly, my man. Stay accurate. Let's go down to college basketball. The Big East Catholic schools, which includes our own Georgetown Hoyas, have met non-FBS teams, non-college football teams. Met with the Big East commissioner to discuss the current direction. Well, excuse me, the direction of the conference. I think it's a good idea. I've even heard that the A-10 is now interested. In the seven Catholic schools in the Big East, which includes Georgetown, St. John's, Villanova, Seton Hall, Marquette. I think I'm missing one.
I think you are missing one.
I know I'm missing one. I have it. Well, yeah, but they include those teams. Will, I mean, you have been on the show in a while. That's why I'm giving you most of the highlighted information. I mean, highlighted or the star treatment. I'm going to you first. Your thoughts about it.
I just think that with the whole reshuffling of conferences for the sake of football revenue, making a mockery of what college sports is supposed to be, it's sickening, actually. Yeah, I think if they're going to do this, the players should get a cut, which they never will. But besides that, the Big East, to me, is no longer, you know, just because... You know, the Big East was created for basketball purposes.
Yep.
And, you know, there were great rivalries in the Big East, like St. John's, Georgetown,
Syracuse, Georgetown, Syracuse.
You know, you won't get those anymore.
Yeah.
This is a check, you know, because those are the games that we grew up watching.
I totally agree with you. I think they're ruining... They're definitely ruining college. They're definitely ruining college basketball in the Big East and tradition. We're missing the traditional rivalries. It definitely hurts the game. But let's move on down to pregame. In college football, Bobby Petrino was now the head coach of Western Kentucky. I think that's an excellent hire. I wish like that was something like in college basketball, like UMBS would hire like a coach that's been like mirrored with sex scandals, because obviously that's the only way they would come to UMBS. They should try something like that, like a high price coach in a sex scandal and have him come to UMBS. But I'm a fan of Bobby Petrino going to Western Kentucky. I think he'll do great things. I can see him moving that program into a BCS bowl down the road. Not now, but down the road. And then he'll get a better job, and then maybe he'll find another nice, a better looking intern to smash off.
We are such hypocrites when it comes to sex in our culture. You know what I'm saying? So many perverts in their own way out here, and then you don't want to give somebody a job because they're trying to get some.
You trying to get some young tail.
I mean, come on, man.
Young tail.
Is she 18 and over? Yes.
It's the King of Poem speaking right. King of Poem right here.
This is ridiculous. Can we act like we're just mature people? And yes, people are going to have... Just because he's married doesn't mean he's not allowed to have sex. We're going to fire somebody for that. That's just ridiculous.
Did you just hear that? Even though he's married, he's not allowed to have sex. You just heard that, man?
I'm dealing with the reality of how things are, not how things are supposed to be. I mean, come on, man. It's just ridiculous. So, Western Kentucky, they're about to be, an up-and-coming and smart for them. Shoot.
Anyway, and move on down to pregame. Marcus Lattimore is entering the NFL draft. I think it's a good decision. I mean, you're cursed with injuries in college football. Might as well take your chances in the NFL. Anybody else anything to say?
Who would dare disagree with that?
The right move by him.
You think so? Do I agree too?
And Will, you're right on point, man. As far as the college game and money and just the hypocrisy, and I mean, they really need to do something. I mean, if you're not going to pay the athletes, at least give them pay their rent. You know what I'm saying? Or do something along the lines, because it's beyond unfair. But nobody's going to do anything because there's no lobbyists for the players. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's just, unfortunately, it's going to stay the same. But, well, you know, it is what it is.
All right, well, down to pregame. In baseball, the Dodgers signed Zach Greinke to a 6-year deal worth $147 million, and he can opt out. He has two opt out clauses in his deal. It's a good deal for the Dodgers. I'm amazed that the Dodgers paid that much for him. I think he's a little overpriced, to be honest with you. Last season was 15-5, 3.49 ERA. You would think he's putting up Verlander numbers or even David Price numbers, who won the Cy Young. He was good. He was an 09 Cy Young. Hasn't been the same since 09, but he still has been a top of the line pitcher. I still look at him as an ace, but we'll see with that deal. Other news on the pregame: Rays trade James Shield and Wade Davis to KC for top prospects Will Myers and Jake Ordozy. I knew the Royals were looking for a frontline starting pitcher. This seems to work out for them. I know they called the Orioles looking for some of the Orioles young prospects. James Shields is one of the best pitchers in baseball, definitely one of the best pitchers in the AL. This should definitely help out. And also the Rays needed bats, and to get two young prospects on the Kansas City Royals team, especially when you're a bad team, that means you have a plethora of young talent somewhere in your farm system. So big ups to the for both teams. I think they both helped each other, because I don't think the Tampa Bay Rays would be able to afford Shields down the road, but good signing. Pre-game's almost about a wrap, but before we wrap it up, I want Will to give his goodbyes, because he's will be leaving us after the segment.
It's been real, fellas. I enjoyed it. I'll be back next week.
All right, that's what I'm talking about. Like hearing that, man.
And enjoy Southern Virginia, please. And be careful of the snow bunnies, Will.
All right, again, it's the Urban Sports on the Eyes Real Network. We're about to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Redskins' big win against the Ravens. And Will won't be here to hear me bash the Eagles. It's the Urban Sports on the Eyes Radio. You dig?
Don't go rabbit hunting.
Hear the Eyes Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear the Eyes Radio Network, you have a chance to win some money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. Just takes a few seconds. Then during registration, hit the Where Did You Hear About Us link and enter Eyes Radio, EYESRADIO. To get automatically entered to win $100. That's right, I said it, $100. The latest episode of the show will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code EYESRADIO when you're registered. That's EYESRADIO.
This is Ryan Kerrigan, and you're listening to the Eyes Radio Network.
Urban Sports Stadium on Eyes Radio, we're back. I have to say again, thanks, Will T, for being on the show. We appreciate it. He's one of our regulars, obviously.
Good talking to you, Will.
You know what I mean? The original. And he's always on the show. He's still on the show, like you said. But we're waiting to get Ray Jeezy back, too, as well. But like I said, Urban Sports Center, Eyes Radio. You can listen to us on the Sports Crib Podcast Show Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC. Still a Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Still a Fan. Also, like I said earlier before, when I was mentioning boxing, you can email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com. That's email us about anything, any of these topics you feel like it, or you know, you have any questions about how we do our podcast, just email us at that email address. And also check us out on our official website. It's www.walio.podbeam.com. So I mentioned, you know, Redskins, Ravens, big win. Obviously, we had a loss with RG3. Looks like, you know, but it was better than what we thought it would be. We thought it would be much worse. But before we get into his injury itself, let's talk about the game. Redskins showed some toughness in that game.
Resiliency.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that about? I mean, I haven't seen that in so long. I forgot what it looked like.
I know. I haven't seen that since Joe Gibbs second time we made that run with Todd Collins to get into the playoffs. He did. Joe Gibbs did it twice, to be honest with you. But I have to give credit where credit's due. I've been bashing Shanahan for like the last since he's been here, to be totally honest with you.
I was about to say.
I ain't gonna lie, since he's been here. And
even before then, probably.
Yeah, probably so. No, actually, truth be told, when he got here, I was happy with the hire because I wanted a coach with championship pedigree.
Well, after the Zorn, I wasn't saying much, but yeah. it's not like he was excited.
Yeah,
No.
I didn't hate him. I actually was happy, but then I got annoyed. Like after I saw what he was actually doing as a coach, I got annoyed. Like when he did
Albert
Haynes
work,
I got annoyed.
The Donovan thing was unnecessary.
The Donovan McNabb thing. So I was annoyed. But
so let's hear this. Go ahead and give him his props.
Oh yeah, exactly. He's done a great job, especially after putting us in 3-6 hole. He's done a great job. but all jokes aside, that was a backhanded compliment.
Yeah, I see.
He's done a good job. I'll stick with that. And he's actually helping us to get RG3. We got the quarterback. Again, Shanahan has shown that if you give him a star quarterback, he can do some special things. John Elway. Yep. I won't put Jay Cutler in that list because he sucked. To me, he's overrated. But you got RG3, who to me is one of the most talented, gifted quarterbacks that ever been drafted in this era of football. And he's blessed with another guy, his running mate, who was drafted ahead of him, Andrew Luck. Both blessed individuals to be, it's rare to see two great quarterbacks going back to back, and we got that in this draft. But RG3 is one of a kind. And
question: do you think that the Shanahans are excellent for RG3? In other words, let's say he just gets drafted by any other. Do you feel like him going to them is actually the best coaching? Or you feel like it's more him than it is them, or is it a combination?
It's a combination, obviously. I will not disrespect what the Shanahans has done for RG3.
But let me just say
at the same time, Cam Newton, you have as a coach and in any sport you coach, you have to tailor what you do to your talent.
So I
give him credit for going. I think they went over and above to tailor it for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some people tailor a little bit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just to help, like Cam Newton, you tailor a little bit, but no, they didn't do that. They went over and above what they did because a lot of people thought after what happened with Donovan McNabb and how they wouldn't tailor the thing to Donovan McNabb, they didn't think they would tailor it for RG3.
Yeah.
Those dudes are SOL. They were wrong, but.
That was kind of my big question mark. You know, I was like, okay, we're going to draft him, and he looks like he's going to be the real deal. But I know how Shanahan is. Well, he might not even start him in the beginning of the year.
No, he already named that.
When he first said that early, I was like, okay, wow, that's different. And then just the way that they've let him take over the offense. And, I mean, you can say a lot of things about them, but as far as this year, it hasn't been about them and their ego. And you got to give them credit for another thing, changing the culture of the players and the type of players that come on the team. It's a team that believes in team first. And hey, Patriots, Steelers, the ones who are consistently winning, it's no distractions, and we've had that,
we've had distractions.
Who?
With Shanahan. We've had distractions.
But, I mean, he was weirded them out.
He's caused his own distractions. That's what I'm saying. He's had distractions. He's caused them on. He's caused them on his own.
You're right about that, too.
The players that we have right now. Yeah.
But, I mean, definitely, the whole Donovan McNabb thing was unnecessary
distraction. Even this season, 3-6. Season's over. That's a distraction.
Yeah. I actually think that's what... lit the fire. Meant to do it.
No, he didn't mean to do it. He said it out of frustration. Yeah. He was real. He was being real. I saw the press conference.
Yeah, but we were 3-6.
Yeah.
So,
no, he's right. It is what it is. Right. I would have said the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, you might not have said it.
No, I would have said it.
Yeah. But it worked.
No, it worked.
I think it worked because
the players asked him. Yeah. They came up to him and asked him, like, what do you mean? Like, you give it up on us? Like, what's going on?
I think that bonded the team.
Well, I think it bonded the team. I think it bonded. Like, again, you got a leader, man. RG3 is your leader. You know what I mean? People could talk. I love London. He's a good guy, great ball player. But you know what? He was in his locker room last season. He was in his locker room the year before last. He was in his locker room when they had Jim Zorn. So I know he's a leader. But see, there's a difference. It's called this kid, number 10. This was RG3. Right. This kid is a motivator. He is the guy to me that's getting these guys riled up. I think he's the one who gets the defense hype. He improves the defense. So like, but let's get back to the game. We're doing too much.
Okay, I know, right?
RG311.
So you know what I mean? Can't help it. But
I know, man.
Now, as far as the game's concerned, tale of two halves. Obviously, as far as the defense, you know, Flacco was just razor sharp, you know, and next thing you know, the second half, we shut them down. Huge turnovers, by the way.
Rob Jackson, big stress.
Yeah, that was huge right there.
Very huge.
You know, without that, I don't think we win.
Yeah, not at all.
And our kicker. Oh, my God, man, who is this kid? Where did he come from? And how do you pick up a
kicker's been awesome. Seriously, Forbath has been awesome.
Awesome is the word.
And you know what I would say, though? What they need to do is they need to think about getting a kickoff specialist just to do kickoffs.
I know, because he don't have the strong leg. Right.
Like that. And
but that's a roster spot, though.
With what? So for who?
Never know.
Nah, they don't play anybody. They don't play that many people.
True, but
nah, seriously, I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious. Like, they should really consider.
Because people. He, yeah, you're right.
Nah, seriously, because like, the reason like Jones, like he's line driving these things. He can't get a far. So when he does try to kick a far, he line drives it. When you line driving, you're not getting your team. Your special teams can't get there. They can't get set to make a play because it's a line drive. Everything's happening quickly. So I just think that maybe they should consider getting a kickoff specialist. That's all.
Maybe the first one, I think.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, nothing wrong with having a kickoff specialist. Dallas used to do it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Nothing wrong with it. But Forbath has been excellent. I think now you know when he goes to kick the ball, you don't feel worried. Like, your palms aren't sweating and you're not all like, please make it, please make it.
Yeah, he's making them. Busting them deep, too.
Yeah, he busted
48-50, right down the middle.
Consistently.
He hasn't missed yet.
The game-winning kick was a 34-yard kick. That's an automatic kick.
Before, it wasn't automatic.
Somebody else, it wasn't automatic.
Right.
Like Billy Cundiff?
Right. All the way from Squeezum to Gano,
I like Gano, but it's the truth. This dude, when he goes up there, unless it's like some fluke play, like a block or a bobble snap, I think he's gonna make it.
So many little things without we don't win the game. The kicker, Lorenzo Alexander in third down, beast mode, huge in the second half.
Yeah, he hit a dump pass. He hit a dump offsides to make him score a touchdown up. But I'll let you go with that.
Okay.
Boneheaded play, right. which
he made up for.
What did he make up for? What did he play?
The third and six to the
tackle?
The tackle in the backfield. Special teams always busting people out.
I get more cut on special teams.
I'm saying, but all that man.
I love the junkyard dog. I mean, the one man gang.
And I love seeing him play middle linebacker. I want to see him play more. Crawford. We finally got.
I told you.
I told you.
Richard Crawford, man. The dude's a beast, man.
He's been a beast in the whole preseason.
Yeah, and honestly, I like cornerbacks that run returns back. I think that shows that they're dynamic. They're playmakers. If he's able to kind of do that, that means he should play more in the secondary too. Because what that tells me is that he's good enough that he gets a pick, he could take it to the house.
You ain't never lied.
You know what I mean? So I feel like this is just a stepping stone for his career. He's shown that he can make big plays in special teams. That just translates into a cornerback who can make big plays when he gets his hands on the ball. Yep. So I think this definitely puts him out there for an opportunity to play more in the secondary, because to me that tells me he has ball skills. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you want your cornerback, once he gets his hands on the ball and brings it in, he's able to take it to the house. And Crawford got tired. It was hilarious. But I'm glad that, you know, he didn't force it. I'm cool with him going down.
Yeah, don't fumble.
Again, we got a kicker. We got a kicker who can make a kick. It didn't bother me.
You know, Niles Paul. You and Logan. Logan, you're good for at least one false start a game now.
And a holder, yes.
Those two things, holding and a false start, at least one of each every game. Now, Spall, you're guaranteed to drop a pass. Not the hard ones, but the easy ones.
Once he dropped the last one, Chris Cooley took a spot.
He didn't get no plays though.
Man, he took a spot. He took Niles Paul's spot.
I mean, I know Cooley can't do worse than they've been doing.
Real talk, Chris Cooley's better than Niles Paul, and he's better than Paulson.
Give him a chance to prove it, please, because.
And I'm gonna say one real quick. It's disrespectful. I don't care what Chris Cooley's. I don't care what anybody tells me. Chris Cooley or anybody. And all y'all can say that it's good, you know, that shows that he's a good team, he's a good teammate and whatever, a team player. But Shanahan, it's disrespectful to have Chris Cooley play special teams. That's all I'm going to say. It's disrespectful to what that man represents. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't care.
He doesn't care, but I would tweet this dude. I would tweet everybody. It's disrespectful. It is disrespectful to have Chris Cooley play special teams. What he means
hopefully he'll get in there and play, because he can't do any worse than Niles Paul.
Niles Paul.
And Logan have been doing it over.
Have Archer Robinson play, do kickoffs. Yeah. How about that? Archer Robinson do kickoffs. I don't like Niles Paul in anything. I think he gets way too much credit.
And what else about from the game? Let me see. Who else stands out? Garcon is just...
Garcon.
This dude...
Hankerson had four catches from 66 yards. Yeah. He's starting to get it.
I think it's his best game overall.
He had a couple of okay joints. He had a couple of good games. Who else stood out to me? Richard Crawford played well. I actually have this adjustment in the second half.
Hasler, let's give him his props.
You know what? Honestly, someone broke this down to me, and I can't lie. Hasler actually has, over the last couple some odd games, he's done well.
Hey, can you believe that? He's actually overachieved.
Yeah, because you look at it in the second. Look at the Giants. Giants is a prime example.
Yep.
The Giants have blown out the Packers and the Saints ridiculously, and they only scored what 16 points against us.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, like, you know, I got to give credit to John. I mean, has done well. I will say this: he needs to. Like I said before, and what I liked about the second half of this time, he blitzed. You have to. They're getting beat. Oh yeah, they're getting beat regardless. Oh yeah. I remember. Madu Williams, you suck. All right. Seriously. This is real talk. You suck. All right.
I don't think you get one argument out of anybody from that one. The first bomb that
D Hall was waiting on help. For you not to get over on when there's no wide receiver on your side other than D Hall's guy is ridiculous. And I don't know what you're doing out there. Man, you might, like, has to really consider.
We can't even blame him no more because it's so clear, dog. He's so slow compared to the receiver.
It's not even slow. See, you're on speed. It's not a speed thing. This wasn't a speed
decision
thing.
Making?
No, this was a mental thing.
Well, I'll tell you, every time I see him. Whoever wide receiver is just blown by him.
It's this simple. Just get over. It's no wide receiver. Listen to me. There is no wide receiver on your side other than D. Hall's wide receiver.
So why aren't you going over?
He only ran over once the ball.
That's my thing. If you're saying he's that bad at basic decision making,
why?
And he looks so slow. Why is he out there?
That's what I want to know.
Why is he out there? You can't get anybody out to.
I would move a cornerback to safety before I put him out there. This dude is bad, man. Bad.
Yeah, because Josh Wilson actually has been playing decent recently. I know you don't want to hear that, but he has.
I don't respect any fat cornerback in the NFL. All right, I don't respect any fat quarterback in the NFL, and I would not. I know he's from the area. I'm sorry, I don't...
He'd be unnecessarily harsh on him. He definitely has had a bad season, but overall...
I don't respect the clip. Recently, he's been playing well, Josh. Keep it up.
He's
Khalid El-Amin of cornerbacks.
Whoever that is.
El-Amin, the fat, chubby point guard for UConn.
OMG. Back in the days. Way back, I remember now.
El-Amin, he's Khalid El-Amin of cornerbacks. You know, cornerbacks. Anyway, let's go to what we really want to talk about. RG3, man. I know we talked about. I'm not going to talk all about, but it's injury, man. I have a problem with the Ravens defense. I felt like they were head-hunting the whole game. The Pollard joint. You saw the hit Pollard got away with.
I don't know how he got away with that.
Like, that was so obvious.
That was him with the helmet.
Like, seriously, he should get fined. If I'm Mike Shanahan.
He probably would get fined.
If I'm Mike Shanahan, I ain't mailing the tape personally.
He's going to get fined because it was him with the helmet.
Yeah, but it was obvious, though. Like, he slid, and he really tried to get this dude.
I see that because I saw his head go down.
Yeah, he really tried to get this dude.
Well, you know, it's the Ravens.
That's what they get. That's what they deserve to catch an L. That's dirty. I'm dead shit. That's just flat out dirty.
Football.
Ain't football. That's dirty. That's dirty football.
Because
he slid.
I know. I think it's a bunch of mess. All I know is, man, it was second and I think was it like 16 or 19 or something?
To play?
Yeah.
Wasn't it first?
No, it was second.
It was second? Okay. It was second.
It was second down, right? Because we had the penalty. That's why we backed up.
Yeah, you're right. And he tried.
He tried to make up for the penalty, and I'm like, all right, man, you knew it was going to be one of them things where he could possibly get hit, but you didn't want him.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, you can either run out of bounds, or you might be able to get it. So right there, he made the decision to cut it in.
Because he's a soldier.
Yeah. You know, he's not going to play scared. And then
the hit.
The thing that really got me, man, is when he got up and he couldn't put his weight on it, I thought, and did you hear the gasp from the crowd?
Yeah, I heard the gasp.
That's like somebody that you truly love, something happened. And I thought, man, that's it. That season's over. Because when you can't put your weight on it, right?
I'm different. I had an ACL injury, so I'm different. Like, to me,
so you figured that you wouldn't, if you got up, that's a good thing?
I thought it was a good thing. I thought when he played with it was a good thing. I thought when he played for a little bit before it, but
well, no,
my fear was, I won't lie to you. When he stopped playing, I was thinking, like, he might have tore it. Because, like, for me, when I tore my ACL, I could walk on it, but eventually, like, as the night went on, it swelled up and I couldn't walk. Okay, I thought, when I saw the replay, I don't think he tore it.
Yeah. Because it was a weird angle.
Because if you, not even that, because the way to me to tear your ACL, your leg would have to plant, yeah. And if someone hits and then it's stuck, so it's plant, then it jerks. But since it was in the air and it wasn't planted, I looked at it, was like, all right, and it wasn't like a direct hit to the knee. It's the way it jerked. I was like, it's probably just a hyperextension or a sprain. So that's what I thought. I didn't think he tore it. And I'm glad it came out that way, but it just shows you exactly, and it just shows you like the will of the winner that dude has. It's like when he was trying to walk up, you know, walk hobble to the huddle. I thought about Byron Leftwich, man.
That was Byron all the way.
You know what I mean? So I mean, he's a special kid, and Big Us,
what were we saying? I know it just occurred to me. We didn't even talk about
Kirk Cousins, dog.
About Kirk, yeah,
my
Captain
cousin
Kirk. Yeah,
Kirk, man.
Kirk,
big ups to you, man. Cause
definitely.
I have faith in you, man. I love you, man. I hated you at Michigan State. I thought you
he did say a lot of bad things about you, Kirk.
I did. You know what I mean? This is all.
He said it was a waste of a draft and everything.
Believe me. And this is all like, I'm begging for forgiveness, basically. And you know, I'm basically repenting for my sins. And I apologize. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a big man. You know, I'm a bigger man. I can admit my faults. You know, and Kirk Cousins, man, you have a backup, man, and you weren't a waste of a pick at this moment.
But I feel you though. You mess around and like you just got to start, and you lose the game for us, then
you win this game.
I was probably hoping Rex Grossman start.
Threw a touchdown pass to Santana. This game, you threw a touchdown pass to Pierre Garçon. And then you ran a 2-point conversion for a touchdown. Hey, Kirk Cousins.
Hey,
you, my friend, are my buddy.
Kirk, you deserve a lot of credit, man, for going in there and you know, just being calm enough to. And the part I like most is after the game, he said he learned from the Atlanta game.
I like that.
Just throw to the first if it's not open. And, you know, and Pierre Garçon just went to the open spot. He floated it perfectly. And Kyle Shanahan, all the props in the world. That was one of the greatest calls I've ever seen. I never seen the 2-point conversion executed so easily.
And I was calling it too. Mentally, I was calling that day. I was hoping that he did that.
Because as soon as he started doing it, you're like, oh man, he's in there. That's simple. They're not going to expect him to do that.
Yeah.
So a lot of heroes.
Yeah.
A lot of heroes. A lot of overachievers. And hey, man, is that 4 games in a row? And is that are we above 500 in this December?
Yeah, man, it's special. Special.
What's going on here?
And we playing the Browns next. Let's get to the Browns. If Kirk Cousins, we just talked about RG3 being hurt. If Kirk Cousins has to start, do you have faith in him starting? Do you trust Kirk Cousins, Captain Kirk?
I think I do, based on confidence level of what happened in the last game. You know, from everything you hear about him, he's a smart guy. He's able to pick up the offense. He's got a decent NFL arm. You know, it's nothing that's going to, you know, wow you, but the only thing I'm really concerned about, man, is like if he does start, it's like, okay, is Alfred Moore still going to be the same without the RG3 threat? Because he gets a lot of those yards based on the pistol offense where you have to stay there and see what the hell RG3 is going to do. Well, if Kurt's back there, you can just pretty much pound on. Pretty much it's going to be like, okay, Kurt, you have to beat us with your arm. And, you know.
That's my scare. Yeah. If you watch the Ravens game, that's a prime example. Like, they pretty much said, Alfred Morris, do you. We're going to worry about RG3. Right. That's why they anytime RG3 hand the ball off to Alfred Morris, they were getting ready to hit RG3 all the time. Yeah. So they pretty much ignored
him. That's why he doesn't think when he shows his hands.
Because if you hit him, you know, it's a penalty. So, I mean,
that's the big question mark. I mean, it's like, it's the Browns, and the Browns' defense is like, it's ninth as far as scoring.
Mm-hmm.
So, they average, I think, 20 points a game.
Good defense.
Points-wise, but they do give up a lot of yards.
But they're good defense, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Defense. So I'm not sleeping on the Browns at all.
Hopefully they don't either.
But, man, do you think that if RG3 is 90%, he should start?
See, actually, I don't think he should. I don't think he'll be 90%. But I wouldn't want to play him if he's 90%, I'll play him. If he's 80%, I'm 80%. I'm not.
So you think 90 is the magic number?
Yeah, 90%. If he's 80%, I ain't playing. Actually, I'm comfortable with Kirk Cousins, to be totally honest with you. On Twitter, on Facebook, I posed the question. To Redskins fans, they have faith in Kirk Cousins. Johnny Ford Jr. said yes. Troy L. Perry said yes. He said Cousins is this year's Matt Flynn. However, I'm concerned about the Redskins defense stopping an improved Browns offense. Raymond Sneed said Cleveland D is very, very good. I don't know. Dwight Golson, I do against the Browns and the Eagles. Not if he had to come against the Giants or Ravens. And Tony Snow, my man South, he said, yeah, if we can run the ball. You know what I mean? So it depends. You know what I mean? It depends. Oh, excuse me. Sorry, one more. Thomas Curl. See what my boy Thomas Curl had to say. My boy Thomas Curl said, as long as they put him in a position to win, he could do the job. So, I honestly think that Kirk Cousins can get the job done. People on Facebook, appreciate the love. Thanks for keep posting comments to our Facebook account. Let me go search Twitter real quick. We always get a lot of comments nowadays. We blowing up like rock stars, like Jay-Z did before he was Joe Camel. Like Jay-Z did before he was Joe Camel. Oh, I'm sorry.
I think Joe Camel was paid way before he was Joe Camel.
You said Joe Camel was paid way before he was Joe Camel.
Joe Camel was super rich. That's one of the richest companies in the world.
Joe Camel? No, right. I'm saying Jay-Z looks like Joe Camel.
Oh, before he looked like Joe Camel. Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because he's Joe Camel.
Yeah, you're right.
No one knows him as Joe Camel.
Well, drug money will let a lot of that fly.
Yeah. You know what I mean? My man on Twitter, at RustyG418, said, it all depends on that. I don't know what that means.
Do you know any of these people, or is it just random people?
These are fans, man. All
right.
I mean, who listen to the show, man.
We actually have fans?
Well, people who support, support the show. That's what I call it.
Imagine
Tempt the Rat. My man Tim the Rat says, with a full week of first-team practice, I would be very confident that Kirk Cousins Kirk Cousins, but he needs all the reps. Let's see who else I got. And that's about it. So, yeah, thanks. I appreciate the love, Twitter, my Twitter peoples. My man George, Temp the Rat. So I call him Temp the Rat. You the man. That's the reason you a Redskins fan.
You the man now.
You the man now. You the man now.
You the man now.
You the man now. But, back to the Browns game. We'll see. I'm confident, like my man said, one of my homies said on our social media stuff, Twitter or Facebook, whatever, said about the Eagles or the Redskins, Eagles or the Browns. I play Kirk Cousins against both.
Well, I agree with you, man. If he's 90%, to me, I'm like this, man.
He's the future. I mean, RG3 is the
future. Week, 90%, this is what I would do. If he's 90%, I'm letting Kirk start.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And if Kirk is doing well enough and the game is close and we have a chance to win it, you keep him in there.
Oh, so you would dress
all. If he's 90%, I'll have him dressed.
Okay, got
it. If he's 80%, there's no way he's playing. If he's 89%, he's not playing.
I got you.
And you just kind of take it like that because you might not need him. If our defense is stout and we get hot on offense, we might not need him. So, but I'm leaning towards not playing him this week.
Got you. So what do you think? What threats the Browns hold for the Skins? Other than, you mentioned the defense.
Well, of course, you have the scoring defense, and Trent Richardson is the monster. He's not even human.
Yeah.
They don't make people like him. He's probably the freakiest athlete as far as strength and speed.
Oh, Adrian Peterson. Don't forget about
that. Well, yeah. The only difference with Trent is how much bigger he is.
Yeah, I know.
This dude is, man, he's like the size of a huge linebacker.
I'm a division of AP.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's just how fast he is. So, what we do with him. But our run defense has been good for the most part, except for last week.
Ray Rice gashed it.
Yeah, but it's Ray Rice, so you know what are you going to do?
Hey, Trent Richardson ain't no slouch, man.
That's what I'm saying. So to me, Trent is the biggest factor.
And watch out for Gordon too for the Browns. The wide receiver, he's a playmaker. He gets deep.
Yeah.
We give up deep passes. So. Yeah. That's not a good combination, to be honest with you.
We can't get big head on defense, especially
not
in the second
at all,
day,
man.
I mean.
But anyway, it's almost time for another commercial break. I mentioned the Ravens. The Redskins beat the Ravens so bad they fired their offensive coordinator. When we get back from the commercial break, we'll talk about that and much more. I know, Cam, and much more. Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio. You dig?
Hey, what's up? It's your man Ray Rogers of the Urban Sports Scene. And recently, Will T and I set out on a mission to see what the people think of our show. All right, there's Mike Wilbon right there. Wilbon, what you think of our show, dog?
I should say the next It's the Big Thing.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up, man. We feel the same way. Coach Rivers, Doc Rivers. There's Doc Rivers. Go ahead, Will T. Get an interview with him.
Coach Rivers, how do you feel about Ray no longer being the host of the Urban Sports Scene?
I mean, Ray, he was absolutely sensational.
Yeah, I feel the same way, man. I thought I was great as the host, but it's all good. Big ups to my man, Fish. There's Alvin Gentry, man. Coach Gentry, what you think about Fish being the host of the Urban Sports Scene?
I've always been a big fan of his.
Oh, so you familiar with him before the Urban Sports Scene when he was host of the Mac Fish Show?
So no, I'm not saying that, okay? No.
So what are you saying? Anyway, man, let's move on. There's President Obama. Obama, my man Will T here, he dissed World Cup, man. What you think about him dissing World Cup?
He's a jackass.
Keep it locked to the Urban Sports Scene because you never know who's listening.
Hi, I'm Sonny Jurgensen, and you're listening to the Eyes Radio Network.
It's the Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio Network. I got a little too high with that, fellas. Sorry, my problem. My fault. Excuse me. It's been a long day.
What you got in that cup, man?
I got no cup. I got green tea. That's what I drink.
That's
man.
A problem. Maybe we should transfer some ice.
Some lean.
Tea.
Some lean.
Hey, man, you could do worse than me.
My man. Anyway, you can also listen to us on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Apple G's radio show. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. Apple G's is spelled APOGEEZS. The show is hosted by Coach and the lovely Vivian. Vivian, what's up? What's up, Coach? It was great doing you being on the show on Sunday. We had a good time. We always have a ball.
Is that really her name, Lovely Vivian?
I call her Lovely.
You always describe her as lovely.
She is lovely. Vivian's a lovely lady. She's a nice lady. She's lovely inside and out.
Inside and out. That's the most important part.
Yeah, she's a nice, very nice lady, sweet lady. She always looks out for us. She puts us on. She's you talking about who supports the show? Oh, she's a big supporter of the show.
Well, thank you, Vivian.
Yeah, she's a great lady. Anyway, we mentioned the Ravens. BMO, you must really hate us, man. We got your offensive coordinator fired. You know what I mean? Redskins.
I think they actually love us for that. I mean,
they hate Cam.
They wanted a reason to fire him for so long.
Yeah, they do.
He's such a nice guy, Cam Cameron is.
Yeah, I know.
But did he deserve to get fired, Wally?
Yeah, I think so. Not because of the Redskins game. Honestly, the game before the Redskins game, the game they lost to the Steelers. Ray Rice is your best player. It's a fact. He's your best player. He needs to get the ball. What I'm having a problem with is they're trying to make Joe Flacco into Peyton Manning or John Elway or
gotcha.
Tom Brady or Joe Montana. Stop trying to do this no-huddle thing. Like, he's the best. He is Joe Flacco.
Okay. He's got an arm,
He has an arm, but he's Joe Flacco. Stop trying to make him into this guy who reads defenses. He likes to throw the deep ball. All right, he's a good deep ball thrower. Don't make him into something he's not. Matt Ryan to me is more of a quarterback. If we're gonna look at the younger guys, the guy he came out with, if I had to really compare the two, he's the guy that I would actually like tailor a no huddle offense because I think he's like smart enough to. You know, I think Joe Flacco, when you look at his pattern as a quarterback. You put him in a no huddle, he's not that kind of guy. You know what I mean? Like, he's just not that guy. He's a big arm, strong arm.
This is going to be the season where the Ravens offense takes off.
They banked on that, and
it's been so inconsistent. And
I mean, you got to, and be honest with you, like, Torrey Smith is a good deep ball dude. Anquan Boldin is the guy that, you know, runs intermediate routes, but he's just.
Well, they were saying
a top-tier wide receiver still in this age right now.
They were saying how the Ravens run this base offense that doesn't fool you, And the way the wide receivers are, he's not giving them any help. There's no motion or anything like that.
My problem,
it's very predictable, so that's, you know.
My problem with his offense is not balance. There's no balance. You know, it's either like, all right, you didn't get Ray Rice the ball 1 week because you want to throw the ball all the time with Joe Flacco, which is dumb. You know, you got one of the best running backs. Seriously, you got one of the best running backs in the NFL. Why would you not run him? That's like me having Adrian Peterson say, yeah, okay, Adrian Peterson, you're going to get 10 carries today.
Yeah. Rice is top three running back.
Yeah, he's a top three running back. Adrian Peterson, you're getting 10 carries today. Marshawn Lynch, you're getting 10 carries today. No, Ray Rice, you're getting 20 carries, 25 carries.
Like, Ray Rice is a much better football player than Joe Flacco is. So
exactly. So why are you
run it through Rice?
Yeah.
And the best part is, Rice could actually catch the ball on the backfield and everything.
What's wrong with running?
You know, I think that's what it is. I think there's a lot of disappointment for how they're using Rice.
And that's what it is. Right. And you know, they could say that.
But you know what's scary, though? What if they start rolling now? I mean, they're a Super Bowl caliber type team. They just
where's the Super Bowl caliber team? They might be the most.
They're 9-4.
Yeah, and they lost to us. They must be the most unimpressive 9-4 team in the NFL.
True, but this year, it's not like years before. I mean, you can see a team just get hot in the right time, and just like last year.
That's true. The Giants. But you're saying now, if I'm going off the eye test, just the eye test now, they still lost to San Diego.
I'm not saying, if the offense takes off,
but the defense isn't that good this season, though.
Plus, they got all the injuries.
But no, they were bad when Ray Lewis was healthy. They were bad when.
Yeah, they were getting gassed by everybody.
Yeah, they were getting gassed by everybody.
They lost their best cornerback.
But they were getting gassed on the run game when they had it.
And they lost two games in a row.
Yeah. I'm just saying they were bad defense number wise. Even with their best cornerback, they were bad they were bad. They couldn't stop the run. And the Ravens are known to stop the run.
This doesn't make sense because you got
I'm just saying they changed defensive coordinators though. And it's not the same defensive coordinator. So I mean the Ravens are I think they have the moxie to be a Super Bowl contender, but I don't know if they have it this season to actually do it.
I agree.
You know what I mean? But that Caldwell is now the offensive coordinator. I think that may be good. He worked with Peyton Manning. He was the head coach for the Colts, so he knows about the no huddle. He worked with Peyton Manning. He was Peyton Manning's quarterback coach. So I mean, before he was the before he was the head coach. He was the quarterback coach for Peyton Manning. He's learned from the best. So I think in that regard, that may be good for Joe Flacco. I think they're just trying to prep Joe Flacco, like I said, to be that next tier player. True. And
isn't he a free agent? Ooh, big three by Jason Kidd.
You're watching the Nets and the Knicks game, Brooklyn Nets and the New York Knicks game. Jason Kidd is the big three. New York is up 197. This is a big game. I told you the Knicks are playing at a high level.
24 seconds left.
Anyway, back to the game of football. Let's go down anyway. Let's go to another topic. Texans got blown out by the Patriots last night, 14-42.
What the hell happened?
Well, now what happened? Let's answer the game. We'll go ahead and talk about the game. Yeah. Are the Patriots the best team in the NFL right now?
Right now, who's better? I mean, they're one of them. I'm trying to think who's better than the Patriots.
Record-wise, you had the Texans, you got the better record.
Okay, you got the Broncos.
That's similar record, but they beat
the Broncos. The best teams right now, we're thinking Broncos, Patriots, and I mean, you would have said the Texans. I don't even say after what happened.
Atlanta lost to Carolina. To Carolina.
I mean, Giants, the way they've been smashing people after, I mean, even though they lost to us. Right now, the Patriots are the best team this week because their defense is playing better and Brady's playing out of his mind. And it's crazy because they don't even have their best playmaker.
Who are you talking about? Who's the best playmaker?
Gronkowski.
Oh, yeah, Gronkowski. Yeah, you're definitely
right. You know what I mean? It's just amazing. I used to hate on Brady back in the days. I used to hate on him back in the days, but them days are over, man.
What you mean? You never recognized
him? I never recognized him to be up there with Peyton Manning because I used to think, the Tuck rule, I used to say, in the Super Bowl, he played okay, but they were close and they, you know what I'm saying?
You're not wrong.
I was right about that, but since that 2007 season, he's put himself right up there with the Peyton Manning, the greatest of all times. He's kept it in this year. He is the MVP.
You think he's MVP?
P. Let me tell you why, sir. Okay? Let me tell you why. He doesn't have He doesn't have.
Does that have what?
Hernandez was injured for a big chunk of the season. Now the Gronk is injured. Now he's still putting up these ridiculous numbers.
Wes Welker,
he's got what, 4 interceptions and like 29 touchdowns. Something
Wes
crazy. Wes Welker, yes.
I'm gonna discount your argument. Go ahead. I'm gonna let you go.
Okay. We're talking about who's the MVP.
Yeah.
Their defense has been playing better, but it's not like they have some kind of really, you know.
They're playing better.
But it's not like the defense that's, you know, that's smashed. And I mean, he's the MVP. If Minnesota wins and keeps winning, Peterson, but it's between him and Manning. Because Manning's just having another great season. You know, it's just one of those things. But this week right now, after this game, I'm going with Brady. But go ahead, give me your counter.
Brady's 3-0 on this. Hey, Manning's number one right now. I don't know, truth be told, now Manning's not number one. Truth be told, Adrian Peterson number one. But Adrian Peterson came from an ACL injury. He's going to get 2,000 yards. If he gets 2,000 yards, there's nobody beating him MVP because it's 2,000 yards.
It's just the win.
Nah, it's not his fault.
Hey, without him, not the best player in the league. He's the most valuable player.
No, you're right. He is winning, though. Minnesota, if you ask any expert, Minnesota is one of the worst teams in the NFL. What are they doing right now? They're fighting for a playoff spot. Exactly. That's why he's the MVP. This team is one of the worst teams, if you look at talent-wise.
You know what? I think I've just been persuaded.
Yeah, he's one of the worst teams.
I think I've just been persuaded because you're right.
Then you go to...
But the problem
is... Then you go to Denver. Denver. This team is an 8-8 team. That was it. It was an 8-18. Peyton Manning's made him 10-4. He's already added 5 wins. Yeah, he's added 5 right now. They're two games better. Actually, to be honest with you,
they went to the playoffs last year.
Yeah, 8-8. Went 8-8.
They went to the playoffs.
8-8.
And their defense is solid.
You know why he went to the playoffs? Because the AFC West is weak. But yeah. It was 8-8.
It's still weak this year.
It's weak this year, but they've beaten good teams.
Oakland, San Diego, and the Chiefs.
They're 10-3, dude.
But those are the majority of those wins.
10-3.
But they have a hard
10-3 coming off a next injury, going to a new team, making a new culture. 10 touchdowns, 10 picks. Brady, the guy you said is better than him.
I'm going.
The guy that you said is even better than him. They both got the same rating. His rating is 104. He's coming off the neck injury and improved it to you, and Brady. The thing about Brady is people still think if you run the New England system correctly, you can still win games. Matt Castle went 11-5 with that same team that Brady took over.
Sir,
Matt Castle in Kansas City, and he sucked.
Excellent argument, sir. I just don't see Peterson at this pace that he's going for the next whatever games. I would love for him to do it with fantasy football.
The Bears, you see what the Bears.
But what I'm saying is, I think Brady has a better chance to put up the numbers to put him over the edge than Peterson does. That's what I think.
Peterson, so that was the case. Peterson would never get to the level he's at now. Because truth be told, he gets 10 the box. All right, let's be honest with you. He gets 10 the box.
He's going to get 11 the box.
Now, if you get 11 the box, that's a stupid.
I mean, you know what I'm saying.
He gets 10 the box, and he's still getting 200 yards. Dude, do the math. He only needs about 300-400. If he gets two 150 games back-to-back, chances are he'll get his 2,000 yards. And well, he's on pace.
He said he wants to break the whole thing.
Yeah, he's trying to break the record. The dude is...
Actually, I have both Brady and Peterson. All right.
I'm just saying. But anyway, I like your argument. But that was a good argument. I won't even knock you on that one. Brady is definitely in the discussion when I knock that. But anyway, the Texans. Does this show that for the Texans getting blown out, are the Texans pretenders? Are they pretenders in the AFC?
No.
They got blown out by the Packers, and now they got blown out by the Patriots. Two teams that people thought as Super Bowl contenders.
That's a tough one, man. I mean, they've never been the same ever since Cushing's went down. I mean, I think, you know, he's Wise the best player, but, you know, the person who was the playmaker and the person who put everybody in the position, Cushing's, they haven't been the same without him. Their defense, to me, is suspect. Anytime you let the Jaguars score
40 points. One of the top defense in the NFL.
That's suspect.
I know.
Because you can't have these many games of, you know, blowout central. So, I mean, I don't know what to make out of them, but at this point, I'm going to still say they're contenders because, I mean, they still have a great record, but, you know, we'll see. I say barely contenders.
I think they're barely
for Super Bowl.
I think they're contenders if they match up against the right team. They did beat the Texans. They did beat the Broncos. So I think that's on their resume.
Yeah.
So how I look at it, if they can get home field advantage and they can play the Broncos and maybe they can beat the Broncos again, that's always going to be in the back burner. They can do it. They'll be confident enough. And say like in a bad matchup for the Patriots, you know, down regardless of what the record is and how I said they play, the Ravens have been known to give the Patriots problems. So again, they may not have to play the Patriots in the playoffs.
You know what you remind me of? I don't know. Matt Schwab just reminds me of Matt Hasselbeck back in the day.
He does. That's a good
comparison. It's just kind of like, you know, a very good quarterback.
But if you put it on him, can he win the game?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's the question. If you put it totally on Matt Schaub, can he win the game? If they took away Arian Foster, can he win the game? And when that's what happened with the Packers and the Patriots, they took Arian Foster away some way or another, and then they put on Matt Schaub. And that's what happens. They forced them to try to throw the ball, and that's the way you can beat the Texans. It's been shown. And then the Patriots took advantage of it. Let's move on down. More NFL news. Brandon Jacobs has been suspended by the Niners for basically saying that his talents are rotting away on the bench.
Yeah.
He's been for like the whole season now.
First, is there an example of anything like this ever happening before? I can't remember anything.
And
like
the funny thing about it is, this is the thing that people thought Randy Moss had to have a problem with. They thought that Randy
great
Moss
point,
was bad with bad mouth this
point.
Situation, and that he would be out the door in San Francisco. He's just been a model citizen, not even complaining about playing time. And you got this dude, Brandon Jacobs. And honestly, I do agree with his point that he should get playing time. But at the same time, this team is fighting for a Super Bowl chance, but they ain't worried about you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it'd be different if you were playing for a team that was mediocre or that wasn't winning. You know, they are winning.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like the reason that any loss that they had wasn't because you weren't out there.
Yeah, so, like, you're not even a difference maker. Not even being me.
I mean, even when you was with the Giants, I mean, you was a good player, but...
Man.
Yeah, there's a good chance he could still win those Super Bowls without you.
Well, God bless you. God bless his heart, man. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
God bless his heart.
I just think that you just need your attention, guy, you know. I know you look like a monster, but that doesn't mean just because you look like a monster, you got to act
like
one.
Monster. Yeah, man, you a media whore.
Exactly. That's the sort of right there.
You're a media whore, man.
Yeah. You're worse than Rex Ryan.
Yes. Definitely worse than Rex Ryan.
Yep.
But anyway, so it's time for our weekly picks. I call it, you know, usually we do four of the best games of the week. This time we're doing five of the best games of the week. Last week the records are 27. Will is 27-13. I'm 20-20. Ray is 26-14. And Sam, since you just started, you're now 3-5. You went 0-4 last week.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
You went 0-4 last week. You didn't have a good week, man. But you still my home.
0-4?
You went 0-4 last week.
Well, I didn't put no money on it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? At least you're not in Atlantic City or Vegas. All right.
We can't wait for that casino, man. Hurry up.
I know, right?
Jack Johnson's my man.
Anyway, Colts versus Texans.
All right, Colts versus Texans.
Yeah.
You know, that's actually not an easy game, but I'm going to go ahead and give the bounce back to the Texans.
Yeah, I'm going with the Texans. It's in Houston. Yeah, I'm going with the Texans. All right. Texans defense at home, I think they'd be rowdy. And, you know, Lux tends to struggle against rowdy defenses, and I think he'll struggle in this game. Will has the Texans and Ray has the Texans. So everybody has the Texans. Giants versus Falcons. I'm going to go first. I'm biased. I'm going to Falcons. I need the Giants to lose.
I just remember why I picked all the games to lose.
I
was going
based
against
the Redskins. I was
going based on the Redskins scenario. I'm going to go ahead and get the Giants, man, because, look, the Giants play up to their competition, and you know, so I'm assuming they're gonna come out and they're gonna play hard and they're gonna beat the hell out of the Falcons.
All right, well, you know it's in Atlanta too, right?
I don't think the Giants care.
Right, Ray got Atlanta, and Will has the Giants, Packers and Bears. I'm gonna go with the who's gonna be the tough one?
Jason Stark?
Nah, I think what's his name's back.
Oh, Cutler's playing.
Yeah, I think Cutler's playing.
It's in Chicago.
It's in Chicago. I'm gonna go with the Bears. I'm going to go with the Bears.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bears. I am.
Man, they've been.
You know what? I take that back. You know what? Real talk? I take that back. I'm going with the Packers. I need the Bears to lose. I'm going with the Packers. I'm going with the Packers. I need the Bears to lose.
I feel you, man. But I think the Packers are going to take it because, come on, they started off 7-1. I think they won in 4 cents. They're in the tailspin, and they don't have an Urlacher. The Bears.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Bears.
They're not even on the tailspin. They're playing horrible.
Yeah.
They went from
Super Bowl
being
competitors.
Top two team to now, it's like,
for the playoffs.
Yeah, they might not even make the playoffs. I just think
they don't make the playoffs. We get in.
Oh, yeah. I do think the Packers are going to win.
Okay, so Will has the Packers and Ray has the Bears. All right. Steelers versus Cowboys. Don't even ask me this question. I'm going with Steelers. Again, I'm so selfish. I'm going with the Steelers. Even though them dumb.
Where is it at? Where's the game at?
It's in Dallas. They don't win in Dallas.
I know. It's not like it matters with them.
Yeah. They don't win in Dallas, though. They don't win at home.
Look, man, I'm going to go ahead and pick the Cowboys because last week I picked the damn Cowboys to lose and they won. So,
I'm
picking the Cowboys to win.
So, Will has the Steelers and Ray has the Steelers. And last but not least, the Niners versus the Patriots.
Time is that? I can't wait.
I think that's Sunday night. I'm a root for the Niners, but I'm going to go with the Patriots. Kaepernick, I don't know if they can really do it. So, I'm going to go with the Patriots and Tom Brady.
That's a great point.
Ray has the Niners and Will has the Niners.
Let me tell you why it's going to be the Niners. Okay, the one thing that Brady really has struggles with is when you have multiple pass rushers and you don't know who's going to hit you,
like
the Giants do. You know what I'm saying? Because if it's like Watt, it's like he knows he's going to keep an eye on him. You know what I'm saying? And they can game plan for him, but I don't think you can do that with the Niners. So I feel like that's the only way to beat the Patriots is just have Brady on the run and. There you
possibility.
Go.
That's not bad. That's not a bad pick. I would love Brady to lose, but
because
the Kaepernick, I don't like Brady. I'm a biased dude. Again, I'm not a fan of Brady. I'm a Michigan fan too. I love Michigan.
Yeah, how do you reconcile that?
Man, that's stupid. That dude annoys the hell out of me. Anyway,
he's like the nicest dude in the world.
Oh, he's nice, phony.
You think he's phony?
Oh, very.
Just because his wife was pregnant and he left her when she was pregnant.
Not even that. Not even that. But that's bad with him too. But he's
can you imagine?
Phony. He's super phony. But anyway,
how do you think he would ever do that?
Never. He would never do it to his chick. He doesn't even marry in his race. He's a good guy, man. Like, Jesus. Like, he's a really good guy.
Hey.
I'm dead serious. He's a good guy. Like, he doesn't discriminate. He's not a racist. You can never be a racist. Seriously, he's a good guy.
There's a lot of black women who don't agree with you right now.
I don't care. He's a good guy. He's not racist. He's the kind of guy
personally,
he doesn't look at skin. Like,
that's right.
He doesn't look at skin.
He's a real Martin Luther King.
Yeah, seriously. I have a dream. Now, I don't really understand. Like, seriously, great guy. I actually. Exactly. I have a. Yeah, right. If I have a daughter, I would want her to get with a guy like RG3. Just a great guy, man. Great human being, great humanitarian. Anyways, fantasy football time. If you're in fantasy football and need advice, obviously, that means you're in the playoffs. Because if you need advice and you're not in the playoffs, then you're a sad soul and I don't know what you're doing. But it's fantasy football. I'm not talking about consolation game. Those games don't count. That's just stupid. If you're going into fantasy football.
It's playoffs already?
Yeah, it's playoffs.
Okay.
I'm number one seed in our league.
Okay, so I thought the playoffs was next week.
No, it's this week. And
oh, that's what's up.
Yeah, you're in the playoffs.
All right.
You're the fourth seed. No, you're the third
seed. I'm the third seed.
You're third seed.
Okay.
I'm the first seed, and I'm playing my man Keith, and you're playing Fish, actually.
Fish been on a roll.
Yeah, and that dude.
He's got a scary team. I looked at his squad.
Man, don't slice that dude, man.
Well, he does.
That dude sucks.
So,
that dude acting like he going to see me. He ain't going to see me. My team scores 100 every week. We score 100 every week. You got to score to play my team. We ball so hard, it ain't even funny. Seriously.
We'll see.
Yeah, all right. So, make sure to get your popcorn ready. When I talk trash, I win.
Let's do it.
All right, let you know. Anyway, fancy advice. Who, if you need obviously you need a player for your playoff team. I mean, if you need some advice for your playoff team, who should you start this week? I'm going to give my thing first. I'm going to say, you know, even though the Chargers are struggling, the Chargers defense puts up points. So if you need a defense out there, I don't think they're available on waiver wire. So if you do have this defense, make sure you start them. They have a favorable matchup. I believe they're playing against who are they playing against? They're playing against an easier opponent, too. I want to say they're playing against Carolina, but I'm not. Yeah, I think they're playing against Carolina. Yeah, they're playing against Carolina. Cam Newton's out there, so Cam Newton tends to turn the ball over when he gets pressure. I can see them turning Cam Newton over. So Chargers defense for this week. You have any?
I'm sorry, but I did not do my fantasy homework.
Don't worry about it. I got this. Don't worry about it. I take advantage of this. This is me. This is me all day, 24/7. I'm a fantasy king anyway, like T.I., the king. All right, who should you sit this week? I'm going to say DeMarco Murray. He's going against Steelers defense. Traditionally, Steelers stop the run. Murray, though, is a fine running back, but I think if you're playing him, Obviously, you don't want to play him, but I think you should, you may want to sit him because the Steelers defense, I think they're motivated after what happened against the Chargers. I think they'll be able to stop the run. And I only think, what's his name, Ryan Matthews had a good game rushing the ball in that game anyway. So I would say sit DeMarco Murray and sleepers. At first, I was going to say David Wilson, the Giants running back. I think Atlanta's one of the worst rushing defenses in the NFL. So obviously, if you want to take David Wilson, I would go get him from the Giants. I think he would spell Bradshaw. He's more explosive. Go get him. But I think since everyone saw that game, they're going to go rush and get him. But honestly, Braylon Edwards just got signed by the Jets. Mark Sanchez liked him when he was initially, when he first signed there. Finally, they have a big play wide receiver who can, you know, make some plays. Braylon Edwards, I think, is an interesting start. I mean, an interesting sleeper if you want a wide receiver on the market. He's out there available in many leagues. I think Braylon Edwards would be a good person to go to right now if you're looking for a wide receiver to help you out in your playoff push, especially you got like a flex position. Braylon Edwards may be your guy. So I just gave out my advice. See how I did that?
Sounds good. I know the Seattle Seahawks scored 41 points in fantasy football.
I know.
I don't know how that's.
I had that defense in one of my leagues.
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous.
We ball so hard, son.
How is that even possible? Son, 40 points?
Son, over here we ball so
What's
hard.
What's the most any one person the team has ever scored that you remember?
Or
anything. Just anything.
Oh, the Martin kid, man. The Martin dude.
Like this year?
Doug Martin. Had like 250 some yards with all those touchdowns. Dude almost beat a team by himself. That dude ain't no joke. Anyways, time for commercial break. We get back. We'll talk about the Knicks pretty much. Oh, yeah, the Knicks just beat Brooklyn. So we'll be talking about the Knicks, Carmelo Anthony, doing big things. And I have a question. Do they need Amari Stoudemire? Or was supposed to see after the break?
No, they don't.
You dig?
Well, that's a simple one.
Time out! Okay, guys, Summers really had his bell rung and could have a concussion. I'm pulling him out for the game. Rodriguez, you're in for Summers.
Come on, coach. It's just a ding. I'll shake it off.
Yeah, he's tough. Plus, we need to win this to make the playoffs.
Listen, we're a team and we need to look out for each other. Concussions are serious. No game is more important than your health.
Take concussions out of play. If you're a coach, know the warning signs and never let athletes return to play before a healthcare professional says it's okay. A message from CDC.
It's the Urban Sports Scene on the Eyes Radio Network. My man Sam, during the break, talking about
Pimp C.
Yeah, some Pimp C stuff, man. And if you don't know who Pimp C is, please Google him. Go to Wikipedia. Obviously, you don't listen to rap, you don't know who Pimp C is. But Google him. He was a cool dude, man.
Yes, he was.
I miss Pimp C. Now, talking about, I miss that dude, man. You have no idea.
He's like the southern version of Old Dirty Bastard.
Yeah.
In a weird, kind of cool pimp
way.
Way
cooler, though.
It's a character, way a real cooler. Character.
Way cooler. ODB was cool, but way cooler. Anyway, the New York Knicks beat the Brooklyn Nets 197 tonight. Honestly, when I wrote this outline, I didn't care about the game, but obviously the game does have some importance to tonight. I think Melo.
Telling the truth.
Yeah, it does.
Telling that you on a one-man mission to prove to people that Carmelo Anthony and Michael Beasley are two of the greatest players deserve respect.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Carmelo Anthony is one of the best players in this league.
Oh, I agree.
Easily.
Oh, yeah.
MVP right now, to be honest with you. Michael Beasley is one of the most talented players in the NBA, but that dude is on some other stuff. But the Knicks are 16-5. Yes, you're right. I'm going to talk about Melo right now. I feel like with the Knicks' success, it has now put Melo back to where he deserves to be. I think we forgot about Melo because Dwayne Wade won a championship with Shaq. LeBron James is LeBron James. And we forgot about Melo. Then Kevin Durant came in. It was like, all right, well, you know, forget Melo. You know what I'm saying? Who's Melo now? And we forgot, like, this dude, you know, is a to me, he's always been a winner. I hate to talk that he's not a winner because to me, he's always been a winner. He went to Syracuse, won a national championship. If you remember that Denver Nuggets team before he got to Denver, that team was atrocious. It was one of the worst franchises I've ever seen, period. He gets there, he makes them to a playoff team. As soon as he gets there, they're a playoff team. LeBron's first year, Cleveland's not a playoff team. They suck. Dwayne Wade struggles. I mean, he gets to the playoffs, but he wasn't even the star. The star was Lamar Odom, and Dwayne Wade became the star in the playoff, but the star of the team was Lamar Odom back then. So it's like the Melo is always, to me, Melo's a winner. Now, do you put Melo in a structured situation for him to win? I think New York is best for him because New York allows him to be Melo. You know what I mean? Even though I think he was a punk for forcing this trade to New York at the same time, but I think this season he's back. Like, he's got his swagger back. He scored 45 tonight. He's third in scoring in the NBA, averaging about 27. Obviously, it goes up. He just scored 45. Right. So, like, the dude is a winner. And he's doing this basically, honestly, if you look at the team as it's constructed right now, your main scorer other than Melo is J.R. Smith, a guy who's known to be a six man. Don't get wrong. I think J.R. Smith is one of the most talented guards in the NBA, period. You know, and he's actually playing smart basketball.
He's not Russell Westbrook. He's not Dwayne Wade.
Don't get it twisted. I think of J.R. Smith, like, talent-wise, J.R. Smith is just as good as any all of them. Seriously, talent. The problem is you got to break down talent. You got to break down talent. Don't go break off stats. Numbers are easy. Like, if I shoot the ball 30 times, I can, you know, not me, but if J.R. Smith has shot the ball 30 times, J.R. Smith can average 25, like, easily. That's how talented the kid is, seriously. Like, he's got range. He can shoot the three better. He can shoot the three ball better than those dudes you mentioned. His three ball is like that.
And okay.
He can drive just like any of them. He can drive. He can jump out the gym.
He can drive, but not as good.
Oh, he can drive.
He can drive. We're talking about Dwayne Wade and Russell Westbrook.
He can drive.
Okay, but not as good.
I'm telling you, J.R. Smith, the only thing that J.R. Smith doesn't have over, I'll say Dwayne Wade, is the smarts. Russell Westbrook. If you put J.R. Smith on a team that lets him free and makes him a focal point, you'll be surprised what J.R. Smith can actually do.
We're not here to hate on you. Go ahead and keep praising your guy Melo.
Thank you. So Melo to me is the MVP. I think he's getting his swag back. He gets an opportunity now to get some awards, and he can be what I've always thought he was. He's better than Melo. He's better than Wade to me. Melo's better than Wade to me. He's always been better than Wade to me. But the fact that
I don't need to argue that. I mean, I think that's a valid point in a lot of ways.
Yeah, but I just think that
you know how it is. You gotta win, man.
You gotta win. So now I think he's now back to where he was when he came out. He is Melo again, and he's just doing.
Well, the bottom line
he's
is
motivated.
The D'Antoni system was horrible for him.
Exactly,
it just didn't fit him, and that's what people didn't understand.
Yeah,
and that Denver team, he just didn't fit with that team, and I think deep down he knew it. And right now he's showing you he is top three basketball player, which he's always been.
Mike Woodson's just a good fit for him, period.
Yeah, yeah.
George Karl worked with him. He was doing great things with George Karl. The problem was that him and George Karl just didn't get along.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It happens sometimes. And look, man, they got all the great players. They usually have the coach that fully has their back, feel comfortable with.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? For them to really be great.
They invested in them. I agree with you. Anyway, another question I had another question for that. Due to the fact that, you know, Melo, you know, is playing great basketball, MVP MVP, probably the MVP right now. If we had an MVP now.
True.
Why do you even need Amari Stoudemire?
I don't think so. This is what I think they should do. As crazy as I am.
Break it down.
I think they should trade Amari for Pau Gasol. I think it's a win-win situation for both teams.
You think it's Pau Gasol?
I think so. I think that's a win-win situation for both teams.
You think New York would win Pau Gasol?
Why wouldn't you? Pau Gasol is slept on.
You think you want Pau?
Pau is so slept on.
No, I think Pau's good. I actually think Pau Gasol is good.
That's what I'm saying. He's slept on. It's just.
My thing is that I know it sounds good you want Pau Gasol, but I feel like, do you want another score? Like, this team was showing they flow. Do you want another score?
But see, the thing about Pau is he can rebound too. But what I'm saying is, with Stoudemire, he ran the D'Antoni system.
You're saying, are you looking at for New York?
For both, actually. I think it's a win-win for both. Okay. I don't think that, it's clear that Stoudemire and Melo just aren't meshing well when they're out there. They haven't, you know what I'm saying? Even the great Phil Jackson said it, you know, and he's got the Zen thing going on. And I just think that you get rid of Stoudemire now. It's like everything is going good, you know what I'm saying? Get something for him now. And Pau, I'm sure, is getting tired of the whole Kobe Bryant abuse. And if he can go somewhere and show people, you know, and he'll be winning. And I think that's one was probably slept on. Because, you know, Melo's got a kind of cool, laid-back attitude anyway, kind of like Pau. You know what I'm saying? And so, yes, get rid of him.
Get rid of him? I don't know. I don't think they need Amari. I ain't going to lie to you. But if they do want to keep Amari, go for it. It's no problem to me. Don't really care about Amari. It's all about Carmelo Anthony from B-More. That's right. You're from B-More, not New York. I said it. I'll say it again. You're from B-More, not New York.
No. That's where he went to.
He's from B-More.
He's born and raised in New York, and then he moved to Baltimore when he was eight years old.
Okay, no, it's real talk. Let's be real.
He was reared.
He's born. No. He was born in New York. He was raised in B-More. If you're going to say from eight, no. You're not raised in
your
New
York. Your parents raised you from zero to eight. From eight to what you call, that's the city that raised you. So you're right.
You're raised, yeah. When you're an adult, you know things, whatever. When I'm seven, I don't even remember what was going on at seven.
True point.
So he was raised.
So does that mean I was raised in Silver Spring and I'm not really Ethiopian?
Yeah, exactly. Wow. True be told. But you can keep your culture. It's different. It's cultural. That's your blood. That's
true.
Blood.
That. There's a Baltimore culture. It's called crime and
you don't got New York blood. You get what I'm saying? Like, you got a culture. Like, you're from, like, all right, for instance, your country, you got that blood. You know what I mean? It's that bloodline. Like, I'm Nigerian. I got that Nigerian blood. I'm bloodline. There ain't no such thing as no New York bloodline.
Watch your bank account.
Exactly. Yeah, you know it. Watch your email, son. Anyway, man, it's time to go hard to paint. Let me hit this music real quick. All right. Last week, I chose Evan Turner to go hard and paint. He scored 26 points against the Celtics in a big game. Last week he averaged 19 points, 5 assists, and 9 boards. So this week I'm going to go a different route. I'm going to go with Jeff Teague, point guard for the Atlanta Hawks. He averages 13.5, 6 assists, and he shoots 38% from 3. I'm going to choose Jeff Teague to go hard in the paint. That's my man since 100 grand. I think he went to Wake Forest. That's my dude, man. So Jeff Teague, go hard in the paint. It's Wake Forest or Georgia
State. Is there a brother who plays in the NBA?
Yeah, he plays Chicago Bulls.
Okay.
When he played for Kentucky last year.
Okay. Yeah, that was like kind of look like and got the name. All right. Yeah. Learn something new every day.
He drafted by Chicago Bulls. But anyway, show's a wrap. Always a pleasure to have my man Sam I Am.
Yeah. You know, it's been fun, man.
One of the most entertaining individuals I've ever seen. Obviously, especially when
I'm sober, too.
You're sober, too. That's good. Right. Sober's a good.
Imagine that.
Sober's good. Hey, I'm going to tell many folks, I stopped drinking. And I got to say, like, my body is like, feels 100% better. I lose weight easier, too.
Yeah, we got to put an end to that, man. I mean, you got to get you back to drinking.
That's after the year. I'll be back.
Oh, okay.
I got to wait to lose. I got about, I'm trying to lose 10 pounds. I'm trying to get, African thin. And try to be his name, not get my Nigerian sexy on. So yeah, we gonna do that. We doing big things on this side, buddy. Anyway, check us out on the Eyes Radio Network, www.eyesradio.com to listen to the show. On our official website, just visit www.walio.podbean.com. Podbean is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N, and if you need to know how to spell Waleo, it's W-A-L-E-O. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search The Urban Sports Scene, and if you have any questions or comments, just email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com.
Man, look at that.
Again.
Hour 20. Look at that.
Hour 20, that's what we do. I know. I tried to make it short, and I couldn't do it. Who cares? Screw you. Have a good day. Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio. Deuces!